Hey friends, before we get started, I wanted to let you know that the Systems and Workflow Magic podcast is fueled by Riverside. Now, Riverside is my podcasting and now my YouTube video recording studio of choice, and they make it super easy to record remote podcasts and video interviews that look and sound like they are recorded in a million-dollar studio. Now, I started using Riverside because the sound quality was incredibly awful with Zoom, and sometimes myself or my guests would have really bad internet connections. And I found a great solution with Riverside because, unlike other platforms that save your recordings directly to your cloud, Riverside saves it on your device first. And this helps maintain recording quality regardless of internet connection, which I love. So after years of recording with Zoom, I am so happy I made the switch to Riverside because the quality of my audio sounds so much better. And now I can also create AI-generated show notes with a click of a button. I can create clips for Reels and YouTube Shorts and for Instagram stories. I can also create a transcription of my podcast or even YouTube video and rewrite it for blogging purposes. The fact that I can streamline my podcast recording process and YouTube content creation process means the world to my systems and workflow love and heart. Now, if you are ready to have a seamless podcast or YouTube experience with Riverside, head on over to the show notes after listening to this podcast to snag my affiliate link and get Riverside for as low as $15 a month. So Dubsado is also another company that fuels the Systems and Workflow Magic brand on a daily basis. If you are new to owning your own business, you'll quickly discover that having a great CRM tool, which is a customer relationship management tool, is an essential component to running the back end of your business, especially if you're working one-on-one with clients. Dubsado's mission is to help you automate your work, grow your business, and get back your time with powerful workflows. Now, there are tons of CRM tools out there, and it's hard to know who to trust. But what I love most about Dubsado are the people behind the business, because they go above and beyond with customer support because they want you to run your business seamlessly. Yes, even as a small business owner. So if you are looking for a CRM tool that will not only house your workflows, invoices, questionnaires, contact forms, proposals, and so much more, you can get started with Dubsado if you go to the show notes, and you can get a special code for 30% off your monthly or yearly subscription when you use my code DollyDeLongEducation, all one word, at checkout. This is the easiest yes for your business because Dubsado will work for you while you are away from your desk. Again, head on over to the show notes and use code DollyDeLongEducation at checkout to snag 30% off your yearly or monthly subscription. Welcome to the Systems and Workflow Magic podcast, where I help entrepreneurs go from scattered to streamlined in their creative businesses. I'm your host, Dolly DeLong, a wife, a mom, and a photographer turned systems educator. Join me every week as we have conversations centered around creating tactical workflows and automations in your business. Now, let's make some strategic workflow magic. Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Systems and Workflow Magic podcast. I am your Systems and Workflow BFF and guide, Dolly DeLong. And today I have a new friend on the podcast, Amanda Rye. I hope I'm I didn't even check with the pronunciation of your last name. Amanda Rye. Is that correct, Amanda?
Amanda Ray. Ray.
Amanda Ray. Okay, you all. I'm keeping this in just to showcase how much of a human I am. Amanda Ray. All right. New friend, Amanda Ray. So Amanda is a photographer, travel blogger, mompreneur, and business coach. She's passionate about helping people design and operate businesses that fit their life, not the other way around. So when she's not keeping her team running like a well-oiled machine and teaching others how to do the same, you can find her homeschooling her kids or traveling the country with her family in their camper Cali. Inside the office or not, you can count on Amanda making people laugh and finding the humor in everything. And you all, I have recently been loving Amanda's Instagram. Like, you have these Instagram memes that you share on your stories, Amanda, and I look forward to following that. So It's true. You're very humorous. So Amanda, welcome. Welcome to the podcast. I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you so much for having me. It's really an honor to be here. Thank you.
Oh, you're very kind. Even though I couldn't pronounce your last name, thank you for being so kind to me. So Amanda, feel free to tell us more about who you are and what you do. I know I gave the listeners just a little highlight reel about you, but tell us more about you.
Yeah. So my name is Amanda, and I'm the owner of Amanda Ray Photography, a wedding photography business based out of New Hampshire. I'm also a travel blogger at lifehasitsperks.com. But my new passion is my mastermind that I'm calling A Ray Mastermind. And this is just for servant-hearted creatives in year 1 to 4 of their businesses, specifically moms. I'm creating little pockets of community with this group, something that I really wish I had when I was in that like a messy middle. Inside the mastermind, we really deep dive into marketing, finances, SEO, lead generation, and most importantly, work-life balance.
Well, that's so good. And everything that you post about your mastermind, it looks like a lot of fun and it looks like a good community of women, especially moms, like just learning with each other. So I am a fellow photographer as well. And I'm really glad that you reached out to with this very topic, because right before we hit record, listeners, I was sharing with Amanda, this is a topic that I know I need to learn for myself personally, but I've been pushing it off and pushing it off and pushing it off because of my control tendencies. Like what we're about to say, I will have to relinquish some control over. And we're talking about building an associate team for your photography business. And again, I'm really excited about you walking my audience through the process of getting started or how to even start this process, because I'm sure I have a lot of listeners who are also photographers as well. I know I have a lot of creative minded business owners who follow me, who listen in, but I also know I have a lot of photographers who listen in. And I am sure if you could, photographer who's listening in, if you could be at two places at once and make more money, I'm sure you would say yes to that. And so that's why I'm so excited about having Amanda on, because she is going to help us develop a system for this or establish a system for this. So Amanda, I'm so excited to learn from you.
Yeah, like I mentioned before, teaching other busy business owners, this could probably work not just for photographers, but it could be implemented in other businesses. But just to have a healthier work-life balance is such a passion of mine. And the most effective way to do that is to hire on an associate team. I feel like unlocking being at two places at once is key. Just as your kids get older, like my kids are now 6 and 8, and we're in that sports on Saturday morning phase. I'm just full-blown soccer mom now. So just being able to be in two places at once has been huge.
Oh, man. Okay. I'm going to have you reshare this with the listeners, because it's really interesting why you got started. So before we hit record, I had asked Amanda, like, why associate? Like, why did you discover this? What led you to discover this? Did you purposefully do this? And what she shared was so interesting. Like it seemed like it was like forced upon you. And I would love for you to share why you started an associate team.
Yeah. So my business became official in 2018. So we all know it happened in 2020 and COVID hit, and my brides were scrambling and rescheduling. And it was just a really crazy time for weddings. And I had several of my brides had to reschedule their dates on days that I was not available. I was literally shooting another wedding that day. So my hand was forced to approach a friend of mine and just ask if she'd be interested in doing this and shooting under my brand. And she was 100% for it. So she really helped me tip my toes in the water a little bit. And once I got a taste of, I feel like the first one is the hardest. So once you relinquish that control and you trust somebody to deliver the thing that you would deliver, it really just opened up the floodgates and really opened my eyes to what is possible.
Oh, man. Man, 2020, that was, we all know it was a wild year, but I feel like 2020 was also a year of like new beginnings for a lot of us business owners, like that we had something amazing in our brain that needed to be forced and extracted out of us. Systems and workflow education came out of 2020. Like I was going to hide it forever and ever and just do photography if 2020 didn't happen. And so I guess there's
silver lining.
Always something. Yeah. Silver lining to something bad like 2020. All right. So I'll let you take over and you can start wherever you want to with just building, like getting started with building an associate team.
Yeah. So the first thing that I would say to your listeners is to get really clear on what your brand's mission statement is. If you want associates to know how to treat your clients and know what the goal is, you really need to get specific on what your mission statement is. So Amanda Ray Photography's mission is to love and serve our couples and their families while spreading joy. So it's very basic, but we repeat it over and over and over. I say it all the time. They're saying it back to me. That's our mission. So if we all know what the mission is, then we can all be on mission when we're out there with our couples.
Wow, awesome. Okay, so building a foundation. How long would you recommend to give a photographer who is just like taking baby steps into, okay, I think I need to build out an associate team because it like the requirements of me is I feel so spread thin. Like I know this could happen for me, but like how would they build out a mission statement? How long should they take to do this set? Then I don't know. Do you have any like beginning questions to ask yourself to extract these mission statements?
Mm. A book that was really helpful for me was E-Myth. I forgot the author, but it talks about basically franchising your brand, even if you don't ever want to franchise it, just to act like you're going to franchise it. So that was so helpful for me in the beginning that I wrote all of these things down. I wrote all of my mission statements and I wrote down how I would go about doing certain things like systems and workflows and things like that. So if you're listening and you haven't read E-Myth, I highly recommend starting there and just write it down, just like you were going to sell your business, even though you might not ever.
I love that. I'm writing that down. And if I remember to, I will make sure to link the book in the show notes so that everybody can check out that book. That's a good, I'm definitely going to be looking that up on Scribd later on, Amanda, for sure.
I hope I mentioned a lot of books during this because I feel like books have taught me everything I know is just a lot of books. Yeah. So then once you have your mission statement and you know what the mission is of the business and you want to start finding or recruiting or just letting people know that you're hiring, there's so many ways that you could go about doing that. You can reach out to your network. You can reach out on social media. You could send an email blast just like, hey, we're hiring. And it could be like, really small, just non-committal for people. They can just fill out a form saying they'd like more information, just like really low level of commitment for them at first. Then what I did, or I have done, is once they fill out this form, then I give them more information. I have an entire job description that I created after reading E-Myth, a job description of an assistant photographer. So I never hire associate photographers. I always hire assistants and then they can grow into an associate.
Sure.
Except for that first one in 2020. That was like straight on associate. But
you just went to the top.
Yeah. Yep. So once you send them that like PDF of a job description, you can say, if you're still interested, I'd love for you to apply. And then you can send them just like a Google form of capturing some information that is really important to you. Photography experience is not important to me at all. Like the less photography experience to me, the better. Because starting someone from a clean slate where there's no, you know, I feel like people, bad habits die hard and maybe the way I would shoot something is not the way that they normally do. So photography experience, I'm like, it doesn't matter if you have any. If you've never picked up a camera, it doesn't matter to me. What matters most is your character. Can I trust you on a wedding day to make the choices that I would make to be loving and to be servant-hearted and just to be joyful about it? Because wedding days can be stressful. So you have to have the right mindset and the right heart. So that's really number one thing I look for. And I have them fill out some references so I can get a better idea of who they are. And I have them write their own personal mission statement. And you can tell the people who did their research, they know mine. So they'll try to weave it in there, which
they're
is
like,
fine.
I'm very joyful and
serve and loving people. Yes. But yeah, just character. And actually, So we're a team of six now. And every single person that I've hired, I have a friend of a friend. Like somebody's known them in my circle, which is crazy. Even I just hired somebody who I didn't even know that one of my past brides knew her. So when I was on Instagram and she messaged me, she's like, hey, I heard that this girl applied for the job and I just want you to know she's amazing. Like I worked with her and she's phenomenal. And just that, like having somebody in my network.
Confirmation. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Verbal confirmation.
Transfer of trust. And
oh, I love that so much. Yeah. Because that, I can say that this earlier, like this is the point that I feel stuck at, that trusting other people, because I'm not a wedding photographer, but I am a family photographer, and I would love to like branch out and have assistant photographers or like associate photographers, but it's just like that trust factor. Will they show up and serve my family as well? Because I love my families so deeply, and just to think like anybody letting them down, I'm like, no, like I have to control everything. I have to make sure to over deliver. And will the other person over-deliver the way I over-deliver? It's just, that is the hardest thing for me to wrap my mind around.
Yep. That's why character is so important.
Yeah.
So important.
Yeah.
Also, another book called Entre Leadership. It's by Dave Ramsey. He actually goes through like a hiring process in his book, which I just like copy and pasted. Like, I'm just going to do what Dave Ramsey does. So he talks about doing multiple interviews so you can really get to know somebody and who they truly are by doing multiple interviews. And so you send the PDF job description. If you want to apply, great. Then once you have these applications in the Google form, then you can start doing Zoom interviews. And these are like very short interviews. It's maybe 10, 15 minutes. Just do they show up on time? Like, how do they speak? Just get to know them a little bit and then explain more about the job. Because I usually at this point, I haven't even told them how much they're going to make or like how time intensive it is. So I just go over those again. And if you're still interested, I would love to meet face to face. So then, like Dave Ramsey says, this interview is a couple's interview. My husband is he's co-owner anyways, but him and I will take the, how do you say that?
The interviewee or
interviewee, thank you.
Yeah.
Interviewee out to lunch or breakfast. If they have a husband, then we have him come along too. And Dave Ramsey talks about how it's so interesting to see a married couple together and see how they interact with each other. And you can really learn a lot about somebody in the way that they treat their spouse. And we've had a couple of single ladies, too, that we've met at a coffee shop. But just sitting down and seeing what do they bring to the interview? Are they bringing notebooks? Are they late? Are they just to get to know their character? And then typically at that interview, we already know if we're going to offer the job or not. So usually by the end of the couple's interview, we're offering, would you like to join our team?
Gotcha. No, that is very smart. And it sounds like this strategy is you need to have a lot of patience in it and not rush it. Because I feel the reason why having associates may not be successful for a lot of people is because they are rushing the process because they've waited far too long and they're at capacity and now they are just like needing anybody to shoot for them.
Yep. Yeah, I just hired two ladies in October and they probably will not shoot on their own until July.
That is so wise.
Mm-hmm. And I'm really gearing up for 2025 wedding season. Yeah. So I knew that 2024, because weddings book out like a year in advance, I knew that I would need more people for 2025. So just kind of very upfront and communicating with them, like, you're probably not going to get a lot of work until 2025. But these ladies are not photographers. They have other jobs. This is, they're just doing it for fun, or they just want to be a part of something that's loving and serving people, just like servant hearted people want to be a part of it. And they think photography is awesome. So they're like, yeah, let's do it. But they're not like, it's secondary income for them.
Gotcha. Okay. So I was going to ask you, I don't know if you're going to bring this up, Amanda, I'm so sorry. You're like, Dolly, you asked so many questions.
No,
like,
that's great.
The one you threw about anybody who applies to be an assistant to associate photographer with your team, what if they already have an established business? Do you ever consider them, or are you only looking for associates who don't have that background in photography and don't necessarily want to have an established business? Like, is there a preference, or does it just come down to character and you trusting, like, hey, this person is not going to be like going to my sessions and like taking my clients for their business? Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah, I definitely would be open to somebody that I trust that has their own business. I was considering, someone had applied who had just moved to the area and she was just such a busy mom. She had this beautiful wedding photography business originally from a different state. And she's like, I just don't have time to do my business anymore, but I still love to shoot. Could I join your team and just shoot? And then that's all they do is just give me the memory cards after they shoot, and I do everything else. So I was considering that, but it ended up not working on her end. But there are some photographers that I trust that I would absolutely do that, but it's probably few. I certainly don't want photographers who are just trying to gain experience and then leave.
That's where I was going to, yeah.
Because the training process is very long and I pour in so much time and energy into training them that I would hope that they would stick around.
Gotcha. Yeah, because I've heard horror stories, and I'm sure you've heard horror stories about people being trained in associate teams and then they, one, not show up, like they just like ghost the family. And then two, they show up, but then they make it sound like it's their business and then they take the clients with. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
So I've heard,
and
like,
later on we'll go into contracts and things like
that. Where I'm jumping ahead, Amanda.
Yes. So after you have offered the job to them, then the trainings start. I have trainings that I've typed up and I use over and over again where we talk specifically. I mean, these people literally sometimes they have to buy a camera because they don't have one. So like, let them know, like, these are the cameras that we use and we would love for you to stay in this brand. And they're like, yeah, great, I'll buy one. And then so the first training is like, this is how exposure works. Like, they have no reference point,
foundational.
And it's so fun to watch them learn, and just it sparks that joy in me of seeing somebody relearn photography. And it reminds me of like when I first learned and like when I nailed exposure for the first time. And yeah, so we do in-person trainings and Zoom trainings, and then I send them off and I tell them to go do some mock shoots so they can get their family or friends, and they shoot a whole session, and then they send me all the raw files, and I just do a Loom video of me like looking at them and giving them constructive feedback on this is what I would have done different and things like that. And then they go try again. So that's like what we're going to do this winter. And then once wedding starts, they shadow. So they'll shadow us at our weddings, and they have this checklist. Another book, Checklist Manifesto, is a great book full of so many good stories about why you need a checklist. they bring a little checklist to the weddings, and it's a yes or no column, and it has things that they need to be able to master before they can be an assistant photographer on their own. So there's just no pressure. They're just shadowing, shooting away. And at the end of the day, I'll look at their memory card and I'll go over the checklist with them. And it usually takes 3 weddings for them to completely master it. And then they're like graduated to second shooter where I trust that they can do second shooting.
Gotcha. Gotcha. And okay, again, me just asking as a business owner to business owner, like, during this training, are they getting paid or are they only getting paid once they become an associate?
That's a good question. So they do get paid when they're shadowing at the wedding, just because it's 8 hours on your feet. Like I can't have someone do that for free. The trainings are not paid, but when they are shadowing, I do pay them for their time.
Okay, gotcha. And I'm sure you're going to get into this in the legal and contractual considerations, but I have just had all these questions that are like popping up in my mind because this is just fascinating to me. Okay, so let's talk about then the legal considerations when you are hiring out a team to work for you, because you have this system down pat and you are very strategic in being patient in training. It sounds to me like training, you're patient, you have established guidelines. Like this, Amanda, I am just blown away by this already, because this is a very rare trait that not a lot of people have, because people just like when they want something, they want it yesterday. And so to me, it's like you are sowing the seed in a way like you're a farmer and like you are making sure there will be, you're reaping the rewards like 2 years down the line, it sounds like. And I don't know. I just really like this. I'm just really impressed by your personality and by the way you structure your business. So keep up the good work.
It's good to go slow for the business owner too, because it's easier to relinquish control when you have a relationship with this person and you trust them, and to take baby steps for yourself too, I think is good instead of rushing in.
Oh, that is so true. Listeners, there is goodness in being slow and steady with your business. You don't have to do everything super fast paced. You can still be a successful business owner while you're figuring things out, like while you're taking things slowly. Okay. I jumped ahead. Okay. Let's talk about the legal and contractual considerations you would have to consider when building out a team.
Yeah. So there's really only 2 contracts that you really need. So there's the subcontractor contract that's basically just saying who has the rights to the images and how they need to act under your brand, the dates that they are booked for your brand. And there's lots of places to get these associate photographer contracts. I just bought one from somebody and looked over it and I was like, this looks great. It also has on there that they are signing the contract that they are going to be with me for at least a year. And I have such great relationships with these women that, you know, if they would ever leave me, they would give me plenty of notice, lots of notice. So they're so gracious with me. So that's the main contract, is just a subcontractor contract. And then some people would do a non-compete contract. And that is mostly for those people who are also photographers, signing a contract that my clients are my clients and you can't take them. And at a wedding, you are only to be referring people to my brand. Like if a sister is like, oh, I'm getting married soon, can I have your card? You're only to give them my brand. So that's what a non-compete would be for. But like I said, most of my ladies are not photographers. So but if they ever wanted to become one, or they're doing family, things like that, then a non-compete would be good. I have seen people do associate teams where they aren't worried about that at all.
Yeah.
But I think it's dependent on how comfortable you are with the people.
Yeah, no, that's really good. And that kind of like leads in naturally to your next point, which I see had like, you are cultivating a very positive and a trusted team culture, like slowly over time, you're building these relationships. And do you have any encouragement for listeners on how to do this and be patient with it and not to, like, again, not to rush? If the theme of this podcast episode, besides systems and workflows, if the second theme should be cultivating patience, because that you just have to be patient with some things. And this sounds like something, an area of your business. If you want to have a successful team, an associate team, it will take time. It will take patience. And I love that you, again, I just look at it in the viewpoint of being a farmer. I don't know why I'm not a,
I'm
not a gardener. I'm not a farmer. But I imagine it takes a lot of patience to be a gardener and a farmer. You have to be forward thinking and have a vision for how you want your crops to look like or how you want your garden to look like. And so I'm sure it's the same for team dynamic and team culture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. So we have this group text thread. And anytime any bride writes a review or messages us and just says, like, you know, they were amazing and just say wonderful things, we'll screenshot it and we'll send it to all of us. And then we just, like, celebrate with, like, emojis and gifts. And we just take the time to celebrate and just give so much positive reinforcement for staying on mission. And some of my associates have had some hard wedding days. Like, I remember this fall, actually just all of last wedding season in New England, it rained every weekend. Wow. Every weekend. And I had my associate team up in the mountains of New Hampshire, and it was pouring rain the entire day. And the bride had nothing but good things. She said that they just brought so much joy and a calmness. And I was just so blown away by the team that the bride said that. And so we just, like, celebrated, and we just celebrate each other, and we are just personally, we're all just friends. I know that sometimes, unfortunately, we're all busy and we have to subcontract out, like, a second shooter. Very rarely, since there's a lot of us, but we do have to do that sometimes. And even if that person is wonderful, we just miss each other and we miss the team camaraderie of it, because we just know each other's quirks and we know just all these things about each other that we miss. Right now, during the slow season, we haven't seen each other in a while, and me being away, we'll definitely meet up and have a team meeting in April, and it'll be so much fun to get together and see each other.
I love that so much. That is so encouraging. And besides, do you ever have, I know you said you're going to have a team meeting, but do you ever have, like, getaways or just, what phrase am I looking for?
A retreat.
Thank you. Thank you, Amanda.
We haven't had a retreat yet. It's so hard to even find a day for dinner, because all of us, up until recently, all of us were moms. We just hired two single gals and it was intentional. I was like, all right, we got a lot of moms. We're all turning into soccer moms. Like, we need some Gen Z in here. But just finding a day for all of us is so hard. So maybe one day we'll do a retreat. That would be wonderful. But we haven't yet.
Okay, let's just plant that seed. I hope it happens for you this year, if not next year. I hope it happens for you. Okay, then I know with building out a team and then cultivating that trust, it takes time. But then when you get to points of, okay, I need to give this team member feedback, what does that look like? Like, how have you established that? I know, especially as women, I will say this, we can be overly sensitive about everything. Everything. You're like, no, not me. I'm not sensitive about everything, but I am sensitive about everything. And so, like, how do you navigate that?
Yeah. So all of my team knows my personality. I am a little bit abrasive sometimes, but I'm not in a bad way. But I'm going to be honest. I'm very real and honest. And I used to be a teacher back in my other life. Oh, I was a middle school math teacher.
Oh, yes.
So I have skills. Yeah. I have some skills, but just focusing on something they did that you love at every single time. So you're looking through their gallery and you're like, wow, these are overexposed. Like, oh, this is really overexposed. I can pick out things that I love. Oh, your posing is so good. I can't believe what you did with the sun behind her head. It do like the sandwich method and just, but they're all overexposed. You got to work on that. And then something great. Oh my gosh, the way her dress is moving, you captured that movement beautifully just to kind of soften the constructive feedback. It does get hard. I feel sometimes I'm like, did they take that the right way? But they know it's all in love. And I try. That's why I try to do the Loom video so they can see my face.
See your face.
And like my inflection of my voice. So they know that it's not just like super harsh. And there's so much grace in learning. I mean, it's, you know, learning. I mean, even I don't say I shoot a perfect gallery ever. And I've been doing this for a long time. So,
yeah. No, that's so good. I feel like, okay, well, going back to the Loom comment, I got an email from Loom at the end of last year. I'm sure they send it out to all their users, but it was like, you are the top 3% user of Loom. And it's because I, which is so funny, I was like laughing so hard because I send Loom videos to everyone. It doesn't matter if you're a student. It doesn't matter if you emailed me. It doesn't matter if we're collabing on something. I will most likely send you a Loom video back because I want you to see my tone. I want you to hear my tone. I want you to see my face because the way I type can come across as like overly excited or aggressive, like a lots of exclamation points or like all caps, not because I'm angry, but because I'm so excited. And so I have learned if I don't want somebody to translate the way I type into aggressiveness or
I don't know.
I don't want it to be misinterpreted. So I end up like sending Loom videos and it has helped me tremendously with building so many relationships. Like with people I haven't even met in person. It's just all online and we have better trust with each other now. So I just want to affirm, I love that you do that through Loom because it just offers like more, I don't know, they're seeing you, they're hearing you, and it feels like less of a blow because I don't know a lot of people who like to receive sometimes I like receiving constructive criticism if it's going to help, if I frame my brain, but I don't meet a lot of people who are like, I just want to be torn down, I just want to be picked apart, I can't wait.
Yeah. And another thing, because I've had some associates that are they're ones and they're very hard on themselves. I did a Loom video of going through my own wedding gallery once, like one that I shot, just so they know I am not doing this perfectly. Like I have things that the bride and groom will never see because I didn't nail exposure or because so I want them to see that I'm not perfect and I don't expect them to be perfect. Yeah, so Loom for the win, I guess.
Loom for the win, everyone. Loom. All right, Amanda, you have shared so many great points with us. I know we're over 30 minutes, and this was like its own mastermind in itself. I have a lot of follow-up questions to ask you. Like, first of all, where can people find you and connect with you and get to know you even more?
Yeah, so I live on Instagram. That's my favorite social media platform. And I am it's Amanda Ray, R-A-I. It's Amanda Ray. And then I also have a YouTube channel with the same name. And also YouTube, if you're interested in like my travel stuff and seeing like what we do, Life Has Its Perks is my travel website and YouTube. Or you could just show up at my website, amandaray.com. I would love to hear from your listeners.
Awesome. And of course, all listeners, I will have all of the links in the show notes and also in the corresponding blog post as well. Let me just throw this question out there. Are you planning on leading like a mastermind or doing some sort of course about building out an associate team?
That is such a good question. So my mastermind will dive into all of it. So how you could be gaining more freedom as a mom plus business owner and being in two places at once is really high on there. A lot of people come into the mastermind not really wanting that. They think that's a little bit too big of a step. So we kind of like inch our way, like outsourcing. We'll talk about outsourcing a lot. But if they're interested, I will tell them every single thing that I did. I'll show them what application I used and my job description. And I just peel back the curtain for them in that mastermind.
Awesome. Okay, you all heard that. So please, if you are a photographer, I think any type of photographer could benefit from this, especially if you're high in demand. This would be a good next step for you. And then Amanda, I'm like trying to think of another stream of income for you. I'm like, Amanda needs to like, you need to monetize yourself in more ways. Like you should definitely develop a course about this, or you should do like one-on-one mentoring for this. I'm just saying, I know people, you're like, Dolly, please don't advertise.
Once a teacher, always a teacher. I'm always excited to tell people. Yeah. Well, I just want people to have more freedom.
Yes. Yeah, of course. I really think you should do those two things. You should do some courses, and then you should do one-on-one mentoring. That's just me. I'm calling it.
All right.
People are going to be DMing you and asking.
Great.
Well, Dolly said you did this, so where is it? Thank you so much again for being on the podcast. I really appreciate you taking your time and sharing so much of your wisdom about building out an associate team. I found it very interesting, and it's compelling me to want to take more steps in this direction. So thank you so much.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. Listeners, again, let me remind you, you can find everything in the show notes. So if you had any like aha moments, light bulb moments, find me on Instagram, find Amanda on Instagram. Let us know what points you enjoyed the most and like what steps you're going to take after listening to this podcast episode. And then again, as always, stay magical and streamlined, you amazing muggle you. I will see you all next week with a brand new systems and workflow related episode. But until then, bye.
Thank you so much for listening to the Systems and Workflow Magic podcast. You can find full show notes from today's episode at dollydelongphotography.com/podcast. If you're loving the podcast, I'd be so honored if you'd subscribe and leave a review on your favorite podcast player. Be sure to screenshot this episode, share it to your stories, and tag me at Dolly DeLong Education over on Instagram. Until next time, go make some strategic workflow magic.